Ecclesiastes 7:29. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. And then in the New Testament, Colossians 3, verses 8 through 11. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Ephesians 4:22-24. That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Currently, we are studying the image of God in man from the original state he was created in. It is man's original state, not his fallen state, that we find what the image of God primarily consists of. The original state that Adam was created in was a normal state. His fallen state, his sinful state, was abnormal. Man's fallen state was a horrible defacement of the image of God in man. For God created man righteous, holy, and sinless, with a moral rectitude to serve and to worship and to commune with God that corresponded to and images God's moral character and consistency. Man was created with a sinless moral rectitude that controlled all the faculties of his soul, his intellect, his will, his emotions, and his conscience. He was not created in a state of innocence or neutrality, but rather in a state of positive moral righteousness. And the proposition we are working with is this: the primary content of the image of God in man was the original righteousness that God first endowed Adam with. The first text we considered was Ecclesiastes 7:29. Lo, this one thing have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. God hath made man upright. The Hebrew word for upright, yeshar, this word means straight or level. But when used in regards to people, it means righteous, morally straight, or conforming to the law of God. In Ecclesiastes 2:7-29, it denotes the possession then of a moral and positive righteousness. Being upright presupposes law, a moral standard to conform to. Adam was made in conformity to the law of God. The law was written on his heart, and his power and will to conform to God's moral law, the moral virtue that regulated the faculties of his soul, was not supernatural, but rather his natural created state, the way God originally constituted him. And he delighted in the will of God. It was his joy and happiness. He walked with God. He communed with God in righteousness. The virtue and moral integrity of Adam was entirely agreeable to the righteous character and holiness of God. God made man upright. Asa, a call, perfect tense, meaning that this was a completed action. Adam did not acquire his righteousness, nor was it imputed to Adam. He was made righteous. It was his natural state, as being made in the image of God. And further, we see a contrast between man's original created state and his fallen state. God hath made man upright, but man has sought out many inventions. Contrast between the way man was created and the way he is now, which is a state of total depravity and wickedness. A contrast between what God originally did and what man subsequently did. And then we turned to the New Testament to gain further light on this subject of the original image of God. The New Testament speaks of the restoration of the image of God in the work of regeneration and sanctification. And therefore, the content of the image of God can be understood by what the New Testament says about God's restoration of the original image of God, of man's original nature, in the work of regeneration and sanctification. And if we examine this restoration of the image from the New Testament, we will get a clearer understanding of that image of God which was original in Adam. In the New Testament, we find then this contrast between the old man, the unregenerate man, and the new man, the regenerate man. The believing sinner is created anew in Christ Jesus, and he becomes a new creation, a new creature. The believing sinner has been reborn, regenerated. And in this work of salvation, God restores, He repairs, He regenerates or rejuvenates and renews this image of God in fallen man. So we thus reason if the image of God, which was lost by the fall, must be the same as that which the believer is restored to in the new birth. That which was lost, that image which was lost in the fall, is that which is restored to the believer in the new birth. And this is our hermeneutical method. Those New Testament passages that speak of the restoration of the image of God necessarily imply the original integrity Adam possessed as God's image bearer. The moral integrity of the soul that the New Testament speaks of, that which is restored in the work of regeneration and sanctification, consists of three things: knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. And there are two pivotal texts that we dealt with, which we've already read, Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, and Ephesians 4:24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Last time we dealt with Colossians 3:10 and the true knowledge of God. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in unto knowledge after the image of him that created him. The new birth, metaphorically described here as putting on the new man, is a restoration of God's image. Putting on has the meaning of clothing oneself, of putting on a garment. And it's an aorist participle in the Greek, which denotes completion. Having put on the new man, the regenerate man. This aorist participle is used not only here in verse 10, but also in verse 9 for putting off the old man. The two do not coexist together. The old man is put off. The new man is put on. These are both completed actions using the aorist tense. And the two cannot coexist together. To put on the new man presupposes that you've put off the old man. And this describes, of course, the work of regeneration, or what some have called, and it's what we are learning in the 2 o'clock hour in our study of sanctification, definitive sanctification. It was a definitive work of God. That which has been put on is stated with some emphasis in the original language as a restrictive attributive. The new man, I mean that which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. And renewed here is a compound word from ana again and kainos, new. To be made new again. And it's a passive voice showing that God is the one doing the work. He is the one that renews. And it's a present tense participle denoting a continual renewing, which is progressive. Further, this phrase, after the image of Him that created Him, is a clear allusion, pointing back to Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27, that God created man after the image of Himself. The term knowledge is anarthros, indicating the quality of knowledge. It's intensified with the preposition epi. Epigenosis, full knowledge or true knowledge. This knowledge that is part of being restored back to the image of God, that God works in the believer, is a true and genuine spiritual knowledge. It's a knowledge resulting from an intellect that is governed by a holy and moral rectitude. That the faculties of the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions are governed by this renewing of the mind. A moral rectitude that governs man's thinking process, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The regenerated Christian has been transformed by the renewing of his mind. God's will is now the object of his knowledge. We talked about Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A transformed mind is a discerning mind, a regenerate mind that discerns the will of God. It's not just discerning the will of God, it is living the will of God. It is a full, lively, practical knowledge of God. It's a spiritual knowledge that regulates man's will and his affections to walk with God in obedience to his moral law. As Christians, we are being renewed and restored unto knowledge. The renovation is said to be eis epigenosen, that is, unto knowledge. Not renewed in knowledge or by knowledge, but unto knowledge. And I make that distinction because knowledge is the effect of a moral renovation that is spoken of here. True knowledge is the effect of being restored to the image of God. And now we turn to our next text, Ephesians 4 and verse 24. And we consider righteousness and true holiness. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. As in Colossians 3:10, putting on the new man is a description of regeneration. In Colossians 3, Paul states, the believer has put off the old man and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And he uses aorist participles, as we've talked about, to describe these actions of putting off and putting on. It indicates that the action's already taken place. Having put on the old man, having put on the new man, and having put off the old man. The former man is put off. The old man is put off. And the new man is put on. And is constantly being renewed. In Ephesians 4:22 through 24, we have the same contrast between the old man, the unregenerate man, and the new man, the regenerate man, the Christian. And it's a very, very close parallel to Colossians 3:9 through 10. And we would expect Ephesians 4:22 through 24 to express the same thought. These passages differ only in the sense that one is more concise than the other. The knowledge mentioned in Colossians 3:10, which is the effect of being restored to the image of God, is further elaborated in Ephesians 4 to include righteousness, holiness, and truth. The same verbs to put on and to put off are used. However, this time the verbs are aorist infinitives. That is, they're aorist infinitives of result. And it again denotes something that has already happened. They are not imperative verbs, as some have translated it, but rather they express result. The verb to put on, in duo, the same term is used in Colossians 3:10, and it has the meaning of clothing oneself, of putting on a garment. And the word for put off means to take off clothing, to put off or to cast off. In both texts, putting off the old man and putting on the new man are described as definitive acts. The Christian is a person who has irrevocably put off the old man and irrevocably put on the new man. And this is definitive sanctification. Now I want you to look at verse 23 of Ephesians 4, in which there is sandwiched in between the putting off of verse 22 and the putting on of verse 24, this term of being renewed, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This term, renewed, is a present tense infinitive showing continual action in the renewal. The verb renewed here has special reference to the mind, being renewed in the mind. And likewise, in Colossians 3:10, that which is renewed in knowledge, it is also a present tense verb, denoting continual renewing. So when Paul speaks of the image of God being restored, he uses a present tense, which denotes continual action. The new man is in a process of being continually restored. continually restored back to the image of God. Restoring the image of God is a progressive act. And this speaks of progressive sanctification. And here we make a very important distinction in definitive sanctification and progressive sanctification. When Paul speaks of putting off the old man and putting on the new man, he is speaking of a definitive act, the work of regeneration, where the power of sin, the slavery of sin has been broken. And man's no longer under the bondage of sin. And he's been created anew. And when he speaks of putting on the new man, he speaks of that work of regeneration within the heart, restoring the moral rectitude that was horribly defaced in the fall. That image of God that man was originally created in. When Paul speaks of renewing the image of God, he is speaking of the process of sanctification. And it's important to keep the distinctions in mind. These texts of Scripture have been the host of all kinds of error and false teaching. That's why I bring it to your attention. These texts have taught Gnosticism, where the old man and the new man exist together. It's like a good angel and a bad angel on your shoulder. They have been the text to support carnal Christian heresy. So it's important that we understand these two texts. And Pastor Downey is elucidating these aspects of sanctification in the 2 o'clock messages that we've been hearing. Now I want to go back to Ephesians 4:24, and we note the phrase, which after God is created. Or rather, who was created after God. This corresponds to the after the image of Him who created him in Colossians 3:10. And it connotes the origin of the new man, the restored and regenerate man. It's God's work. Both parallel passages make this connection and point back to Genesis 1:26 and 27. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. As the first man bore God's image, so does the new man. Ephesians 4:24 teaches the true nature of the original image of God in man. We see that this image does not merely consist of man's rational nature, nor of him having dominion over the earth, or the immortality of the soul, or any of the other attributes of the soul we've spoken about. According to our text, it specifically consists of righteousness and holiness, the moral rectitude that pervaded all the faculties of Adam's soul in his original condition. Paul characterizes the new man as being created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. This was the moral perfection in which Adam most resembled God in his original state. It was a state of righteousness. Now, what is righteousness? Righteousness, the Greek term is dikaiosune. It typically is a term, and Paul typically uses this term forensically or legally. A term that is used to refer to God's righteousness and His moral standard. God's righteousness is revealed to man in terms of His moral law. What is right and what is doing right is conformity to His law. Conformity to His will. And God defines what is righteous, and being renewed in righteousness is being renewed with that original integrity that Adam was created in, a moral integrity that governed the faculties of his soul, enabling him to walk with God, to commune with God, and to worship God in righteousness. What is holiness? The Greek term is hasiates, and denotes piety towards God. When we consider God Himself, holiness is His supreme perfection. Both Old and New Testament speak more about God's holiness than any other attribute of God. It's an attribute of attributes. All of God's attributes are holy. Holiness describes God's absolute purity. And the fundamental idea of holiness is separation. God is completely separate from any moral evil or sin. God can have no communion with sin. It's completely contrary to His nature. God hates and abhors sin. God is holy. And then in Scripture we are told, God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." The Christian is called to an obedient life that imitates the holiness of God. Living a life that is consecrated to God, that is devoted to God, that has no desire outside of God, faithfulness to God, and opposed to everything that is evil. This was part of the original integrity in which Adam was created in. It was the original state of his heart. He was created with a holy heart and separated unto God. And then finally, as we consider Ephesians 4:24, we are told that this new man is being created in righteousness and true holiness. In the original, true here is not an adjective. It's in the genitive case. It's a subjective genitive, and the meaning is of the truth. In the King James, we find that holiness is only associated with truth here. However, the truth, it has an article, stands in the same relationship to righteousness as it does to holiness. And a better translation perhaps would be in true righteousness and holiness. The truth is involved in both. Righteousness, both righteousness and holiness, are products of the truth, without which they cannot exist. Righteousness and holiness are effects of the truth. We as Christians are products of the truth. And the truth is the dynamic of our Christian life. By truth, I mean God's revealed Word to us. Truth is a spiritual knowledge, which we dealt with in the full knowledge of Colossians 3:10. Truth sanctifies the heart. Our Lord, in His high priestly prayer of John 17, says, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them," that is His elect, "sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth." Holiness and righteousness are the effect of truth. And nothing can be more detrimental to the Christian's life than to denigrate and devalue truth. And to devalue doctrine. And to regard doctrine as some intellectual and cold evil. No. Truth is the basis of our sanctification. Holiness and righteousness are the effects of truth. So in conclusion, it is plain from these two passages, Colossians 3:10 and Ephesians 4:24, that true knowledge, righteousness and holiness are the main elements of the image of God in which man was originally created. And one observation in closing, and that is this. Be who you are in Christ. Live your life according to the reality of who you are in Christ. And that reality is this. The old man, the unregenerate man, is dead. And the new man is alive. And therefore, you're not to act like you did in your former days before God regenerated you. As the old man, as an unregenerate person, but rather you're to act like a new man, being renewed in the Spirit, a new creation. In both the texts that we have considered, we find that the new man is described as being constantly renewed in the present tense. In both passages, renewed is a continual action. When Paul speaks about the new man and the old man, as I said, he uses putting on the new man and the putting off the old man, he uses aorist tense that denote a completed action, something already done. But when he speaks about restoration, when he speaks about being renewed, it's present tense. He's speaking about sanctification. And in this context of being constantly renewed into the image of God, there are certain obligations and certain duties that Paul articulates for us in the context in regards to putting off and putting on as the new regenerate man. And I'll take Colossians 3 as the example. He says, "But now ye also put off." This is aorist imperative. This means with urgency and determination. You put off these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds. These things, and especially the sins of the tongue that he lists here with three times. Put these off. If you're a new man, you put off the old man. Put these things away from yourself. Be who you are. You're a new man. And then in Colossians 3:12-14, he says, put on. Again, aorist imperative. Put these things on. As the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on these things. Vows of mercy. Kindness. Humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Put on love. Who are you? Are you a new man? Then you put these things on. Paul's commanding us. It's your Christian duty. Put these things on. Be merciful. Be kind. Humble. Meek. Long-suffering and patience. Forbearing one another. Does this describe your Christian walk? This is the evidence of being restored to the image of God. If you're a new man in Christ, then act like it. Act in a way that corresponds to who you are. Are you a Christian? Are you a new man? Has God created you anew? Then we would see bowels of mercy. We would see overflowing kindness and humbleness of mind. Meekness and long-suffering and forbearance and forgiveness. These are the evidences of being restored to the image of God. These are the evidences when God restores that moral integrity that regulates all the faculties of your soul. Measure yourself by these things. This is what Paul exhorts us to when he speaks about being renewed after the image of God. May God sanctify us through His truth. Our Father,